Our lesson today comes from Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. Hear God's word. At the crack of dawn on Sunday, the women came to the tomb carrying the burial spices they'd prepared. They found the entrance stone rolled back from the tomb, so they walked in. But once inside, they couldn't find the body of the Master Jesus. They were puzzled, wondering what to make of this. And then out of nowhere, it seemed, two men, light cascading over them, stood there. The women were awestruck, and they bowed down in worship. And the men said, "Why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery? He's not here, but raised up. Remember how he told you when you were still back in Galilee that he had to be handed over to the sinners and be killed on a cross and in 3 days rise up?" And then they remembered Jesus' words. They left the tomb and they broke the news of all this to the 11 and the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them kept telling these things to the apostles. But the apostles didn't believe a word of it. They thought they were making it all up. But Peter jumped to his feet and he ran to the tomb. He stooped to look in and saw a few grave clothes. That's all. And he walked away, puzzled and shaking his head. May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. They were devastated. They lived in extremely difficult times, times that we can't even begin to imagine, and their hope was in Jesus. They saw him do amazing things, and in spite of their circumstances, they had hope. And then to see this man who had healed people, who had healed even from the dead, to see the mob crowds crying out, screaming for his death, and then to see him killed in such a horrible, inhumane way, and to see their hopes go with it on that cross. They were so overwhelmed in their grief that they couldn't even remember any of the things that he had told them. It's just all they knew is our hope is gone. And so they waited. They waited until the Sabbath was over. And then they went to the tomb. Most of us in this room have had times of loss of loved ones, haven't we? We know what it feels like when you go to say that goodbye. Heartbreaking. Heartbreaking enough to lose a loved one, but imagine losing this one who had the promise of changing your life and changing your future. Gone. How could that even be, and so fast? And so they get there, and we can only begin to imagine what they might have been thinking as they saw the stone moved away. What does that mean? They go in and they're looking for, where is he? What? Did somebody take him? Did somebody take his body? What happened? And then these two angelic figures appear to them and ask them, "Why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery? Why are you looking for your hope in a place of the dead?" They hardly knew what to think even then. What does this mean? But their hearts must have skipped a beat. And they could hardly wait to get back and to share the good news. And not surprisingly, no one believed them. And it was Peter who had to go back and see, and even he was so puzzled. And we know that later he went on to meet with the disciples to reassure them, to let them know that hope was not gone, that it was only the beginning. On this Easter Sunday, many of us are here for different reasons. Some of us come because it's part of a lasting tradition. This is part of something that we celebrate that is meaningful to us. Some of us come with questions, still trying to sort things out, still wondering about the stories that we've heard, wondering how they might be true, and wondering what they might even mean to us. We go through lives, each of us different, each of us searching, sometimes not even sure what we're searching for. Sometimes some of the stories don't make total sense to us. How did these things happen? Why did they happen? And what does it all mean anyway? Well, I want to share a story about a woman who, about 4 or 5 years ago, her name was Sally. And Sally was not a young woman. She was in her late 70s. And some young delinquents had gotten hold of her aging 1989 car. And they had gone off, they had totaled it, they had destroyed it, and when she went to see it after it was reported, it was a mess. It was filled with trash and garbage, and it was completely smashed up, and the things that she had value in there, she had a Bible, she had a crucifix that was shared by her mother from years ago. There were all these treasures that were all gone. Not only that, but this was the one way that she was able to get to Mass every morning and to worship. It was the way that she got 2 or 3 doctor's appointments every week. And now it was gone. She had every single reason to be angry, as you can imagine. I mean, who wouldn't be angry, right? These kids, they go off, they steal a car, and all of a sudden you're helpless, you can't get around. Your life is pretty well messed up. But oddly, that was not her reaction. In fact, she waited 7 months to actually go to a hearing of one of the delinquents, the main one, who totaled her car. And when she got there, she said to him, "When we forgive, we don't deny the hurt that we've received. We don't deny that it was wrong. But we acknowledge that there is more to the offender than the offense." She had his attention, but she also had the judge's attention and all the lawyers and all the people in that room. How is it that this woman whose life had been upended could come into this courtroom and share a completely different understanding of what was going on? She went on to say, she said, "I personally know that most of these kids have probably not had the life they wanted." You see, it turns out that she'd been a foster mom for about 50 kids over her lifetime, if you can believe it. And she had seen, time after time, these kids who'd been abused and neglected, and they had given her a heart for this young man who was there before her in court. Because she had seen over and over and over that behind every person there is a story. And often the ones who cause suffering cause it out of their own suffering. She had seen time and time kids who'd been neglected, who'd been left on their own, hurting. Often the sons and daughters of parents who had been through the same thing. A pattern repeated generation after generation. And so she wanted to come into this courtroom not to judge, but to give this young man hope, to give him a vision for a different kind of future. And so she said, She wanted him to know that she had already started praying for him and the two other boys, that she was praying for them daily, and she wanted them to know that it's not too late for them. She said, I would like these boys to think of their own families. Would they want their families to experience what they have? But again, please, let the boy know that I sincerely care about him and I'm praying for his redirection and rehabilitation. A good life awaits him if he'll just choose a new path. Funny thing is that she didn't stop there. She then went over to the boy and she took him in her arms and she hugged him. And as she did, he broke down himself in tears. And she gave him two stones, and one stone said, hope, and the other stone said, a special prayer for you. And he took the stones in his hands, and he began to sob in her arms. And he told her how sorry he was. He said, I regret it so much. I'm so sorry for all the hurt that I caused you. I'm so sorry. And she said, I care. There are lots of people who care. And then she continued to hug him. And he squeezed her hard and he sobbed. And the judge, who was known for being very stern and no nonsense, the judge finally spoke from the bench. And the judge said, I think many of us have been doing this work for a very long time. And we've never seen such a powerful moment. The team's recognition that you had an impact on somebody, that this is not an anonymous hurt, this is a personal hurt. It just so happened that by chance, you chose a victim who can change your life. So here she is, this older woman, near the end of her own life, who some people would dismiss as not being important, insignificant, who changes not just one life, but the life of all those in that room. We serve, my friends, a risen Savior. And he is alive because he is alive in us. In us. And as you look around in our culture right now, as you hear the angry voices, as you see people doing really inhumane things to each other, unkind things, it would be easy for us to give up, wouldn't it? It would be easy for us to say, well, we live in an ugly world, and I've got to look out for myself. That isn't what Jesus said. As they came to take him away, he wasn't there fighting. He wept. And even on that cross, he was saying, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Each of us is looking for something in life. And we can go through life looking for all the wrong things and in all the wrong places. God has something better for you. He gives you the capacity to change lives. He gives you the capacity to touch hearts. Is that an amazing thing? A little thing that brought this home to me. I work out regularly in the pool. And I was having kind of a bad day, but the pool and the exercise helps. And there's a lifeguard that I run into from now and then who's been through a lot herself. She shared it from time to time. She came up to me and she said, you know, Joycey, whenever I have a bad day, all I have to do is think of your smile. It's kind of hard not to cry right then and there. My smile? It's a little thing. How can that make a difference in somebody's life? But it reminded me, you and I, we have a huge impact on people
all the time. And it's either a good impact or it's a bad impact. And you know what? There's no greater wealth. There's no greater joy than being that positive presence in somebody else's life. In us, in our lives, in our actions, we show He is alive and He is risen. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we want to find You and we want to share Your hope and Your good news. And the sadder this world gets, the more we know it's needed. So help us. Give us the strength. Be at our center and our core, and let us show in all we do that He is risen. In Jesus' name, amen.